It's time to take this game into overtime. The official podcast of the Average Joe's Sports Show on 90.9 The Light Sports for our generation.
It's Saturday already?
It is.
I bet a lot of you out there are pretty confused that we started with Barney. And we'll give you some context there.
We'll fill you in.
A little slap to the face there.
If you guys watch NBA playoffs, that's how the Bucks introduced the Toronto Raptors in Milwaukee. That's how they introduced the starting lineup with the Barney theme song. Just a little bit disrespectful,
just a tad bit.
Hats off to the Bucks, though. They haven't been around and in contention in a while.
Hey, they're winning.
They need to use some of that.
And they're winning. Good morning, guys. This is the Average Joe Sports Show. Thomas Pensiero, Mo Walters, Matt Fortunato. We've got a ton to talk about, and we're going to get right into it. We got the Furious Five, and we're going to get it out of the way. Something that we both, all three of us, the tri-state boys here, we've got New Jersey, we got Connecticut, we got New York. The tri-state is representing
Squad.
Right here.
Okay.
We're gonna talk about something that we really don't want to talk about. So we're going to get out of the way. We're going to talk about Aaron Hernandez, who commits suicide earlier this week. It is confirmed in his jail cell. He hangs himself by the bed sheet and the window. It's a really sad story, really tragic. Something that you really don't want to talk about. You really never want to hear something like this, a story. And not just what happened this week, but overall the whole story of Aaron Hernandez, a guy who had it all, right? A guy who had it all, and he throws it away. What are your final thoughts on this tragic story that really it ended the way it shouldn't have?
It's a very, very sad situation. I think as a Christian, you have to be really, really careful commenting on things like this. Listen, every life is important. Yes, the guy was he was a pretty bad guy. He obviously did some very, you know, horrid things, but my heart honestly goes out to, you know, his family. He has a 4-year-old daughter, so I just pray for his family that they'll be able to mourn properly in a time like this. I know it's a tough time for them.
Yeah, I know. You never want to see a situation like that where someone ends up taking their own life. It's definitely a major impact to people. Hernandez was a guy who kind of made some poor decisions and therefore was down a path that he couldn't really alter, being in jail these last few years and just kind of throwing his football career away. But to just kind of just forego all the things that had to happen going forward, it's just sad. And you know, we're praying for the family and everything, and the families of the victims also,
of Odin Lloyd and all the other
the families involved.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly, but there was a few situations that he was involved in. So you know, we're in prayer for everybody. It's definitely tough for everyone, but yeah.
Well, you're starting to get into it. One thing that I wanted to kind of touch on is, if you've watched any of the news, if you watched any of sports radio or listen to sports radio, excuse me, or watch any ESPN or any of the things that are covering this story a lot of the time, what's the thing that we've been seeing a lot the last few days is a lot of people are showing absolutely no sympathy for Aaron Hernandez and his obviously not his family, but Aaron Hernandez as a whole. And it's tough for me. I know Mo and I were talking about this a little earlier. It's tough because, yeah, he was a terrible human being. Like,
he was a bad guy. There's no way to go around it.
This guy threw away his NFL career to kill people.
Yeah.
I mean, being a gangster and killing people was cooler to him than being in the NFL for some reason that we'll never understand. We'll never understand why. And I think that's in the forefront of most people's minds. But then you see people go out there and bash him and which, I don't know, it's really tough. It's a touchy
it's a
subject.
It's a very fine line,
and especially as being Christians, it's tough for us to say, yeah, man, that guy deserved it, or that guy, I have no sympathy for what he did. But, you know, no life should really end that way. I mean, life is not supposed to end that way. And
I don't believe so either.
Yeah, it's definitely a tough
situation.
All
you can do is pray.
Yeah, all you really can do is pray, as we've been saying, and just kind of just ask God to give you the words and the right situations to be in to kind of speak life and truth and God's truth into those kinds of situations that we unfortunately face every day in this world. But obviously with Aaron Hernandez on a larger scale, going back to what he could have been a part of, how many Super Bowls did he miss that they won?
Missed at least, what, two?
I think missed
two?
I think two. He could have two rings he could have had. Could have,
I mean, he
could have been one of the greatest Super Bowls.
He lost out on maybe even a Hall of Fame career.
Not only
how much money, countless
a lot
checks,
of money. Yeah, man.
He was just started a $45 million mm-hmm. contract. I believe he only got $9 million of that because of all that happened, and who knows what the Patriots got back from that. But the guy threw away everything.
They had big plans for him. Belichick wanted him and Gronkowski in that two tight end system. They had big plans for him.
Honestly, they wouldn't have needed a lot more receivers than that. Brady would have been unstoppable with that, I think.
Oh yeah.
All right, so we're gonna move on. That's enough. We touched on the topic. We had to talk about it. It's a really sad, tragic story, and we're praying out for the family. But we're gonna move on. We are going to move on to something a little less depressing, but something that, you know, something obviously you don't want to see too often. Rajon Rondo, he's out indefinitely. I think he broke his thumb, I believe, in game 3 of the Chicago Bulls and the Boston Celtics series. He's out indefinitely. And obviously we saw a big impact of this because Celtics got back on the board. They won game 3 last night pretty handily. They beat the Bulls. Bulls were leading 2-0. Now it is 2-1 lead for the Bulls. And obviously the Bulls are the 8 seed in this matchup, and the Celtics are the 1 seed. But how much of an impact is Rajon Rondo being out going to have on this series? Because obviously we saw last night what happened. The Celtics, they looked good. They looked like
they did.
It's huge. I think it's huge. I think if you look at the Bulls, there's really the Bulls in the last few years, especially when Derrick Rose was not hurt, or not being hurt somewhere else like my Knicks.
All of our Knicks.
We are all of the Knicks squad.
All of us are in the hole together. But, you know, you look at the Bulls the last couple of years when they've made pushes for the playoffs, they've always had that kind of facilitator. They've had that person to just kind of lead the offense. Rondo was going to be a big piece for them. He was going to be that missing piece that they lost in Derrick Rose. They got Dwayne Wade, but that was never really Dwayne Wade's role on another team, whether it was, you know, well, on the other team, the Heat. But I think as soon as he went down, I was confident that the Celtics were going to rebound.
Mo, what's going on with the Celtics? We saw them perform pretty well last night, but those first two games, they looked pretty bad.
They did.
For one season. Now, going into the playoffs, something that I thought was, this is one of the weakest one seeds we've seen in a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Would they have 52, 54 wins mm-hmm. in the East, and they won by a small margin. But they were one of the weakest one seeds that we've ever seen in NBA playoffs history, and that showed in the first two games. They got handled pretty heavily by an 8-seed Bulls team who, let's be frank, they can't shoot the ball.
Mm-hmm.
They can't shoot the ball very well. I mean, they got experience with D-Wade, but
D-Wade's never been a shooter.
What was the struggles in those first two games, and are they going to be able to, after winning game 3, are they going to be able to overcome those and maybe potentially win this series?
I think it's just the pressure. I mentioned this before. The postseason and the regular season are two completely different things. Mm. To win in the postseason, you have to have composure, and I think experience really goes a long way. The Celtics obviously don't have that. They're a young team. This is the first time them ever being a one seed in quite a long time, especially with this roster right here. I think they will be able to settle in, but right now there's a lot of stuff going on with the team. Obviously, you know, you guys have heard about Isaiah Thomas's, you know, sister's tragedy. It's very overwhelming. He's a young man, so hopefully they just get it together and they just try and rally around that, I would say.
Mm. Yeah, I think the young leadership is gonna, I think, going to step up for the Boston Celtics in the rest of this series.
So do they get it done?
I think they can potentially get it done. I see maybe the Bulls pulling out one more game. I don't think. I see it possibly if the Celtics were to win, I see it going 7 games. I think Chicago somehow pulls together. Maybe someone like Jimmy Butler or D Wade steps up and does something that we haven't seen before. But I think if the Celtics, I'm pulling for the Celtics in this one, and Chicago maybe wins one more game.
I gotta pull for the Bulls, man. I think they go as far as Jimmy Butler goes, and
I think they get it done though.
I think so, and I don't think he wants to lose anytime soon, honestly. And Dwayne Wade, obviously, he's not the same player he was on Miami, but the guy knows how to win.
You're
not wrong there.
With the Jimmy Butler thing though, this was kind of like. This was, everybody was saying, like, this is what they needed. Rondo, like I said before, Rondo was going to be their last thing that they needed to fill that void. I think him going down is too devastating of a blow. I don't know.
Well, Rondo's definitely the primary ball handler on the team, but from scoring-wise, defensively, like perimeter defensively, I think Butler's that guy, and I think he'll take them, you know, as far as he wants to go.
Well, you mentioned it right there, Butler. Now, something that kind of correlates into this matchup is Danny Ainge, the GM of the Celtics. He had a chance to go get Jimmy Butler before the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
It was either he was trying to get Jimmy Butler or Paul George. He pulled off nothing. He decided to stay put, decided to not trade any of his assets.
Mm-hmm.
And we can go into a different story on how bad he has been at drafting and keeping those assets doesn't mean much and stuff like that. But if they end up losing this series to the Bulls, how bad does that look for Danny Ainge? I mean, this is a guy, Jimmy Butler, who you probably should have gone out and got at the trade deadline, right? You probably should have got this guy. You could have gave up a first-round pick and Jay Crowder or something similar like that. Does he deserve some flack? If they end up losing this series and it's a Jimmy Butler.
Oh, yeah. Of course he deserves some flack. In his profession, you got to be aggressive and be able to make moves.
He should have made that move, right?
He should have made that move. Mm. You're not wrong.
Yeah, I think like a lot of other teams that kind of like sometimes miss out, I think the Celtics were the biggest disappointment at the trade deadline this year. And just they needed that one extra guy and they didn't get him. And if they end up losing to the guy that they were going to go after, close to getting, then someone's going to have to pay.
Regardless, the Celtics need to start winning. They've got two playoff wins in the last 4 years. And, guys, where does that rank? That ranks 20th in the NBA. Wow. 20th in the NBA.
Yeah.
But we're going to move on to the third topic in the Furious Five. Guys, Tiger Woods. Sad story. He undergoes his fourth back surgery since 2014. Who knows when he's going to be back? Nobody knows. He could miss all four majors this year. He's already missed the Masters. Now he's having back surgery. I've never had back surgery.
Me either.
But I can imagine.
Sounds painful.
It sounds painful. It sounds like he might be out for a while. 14-time major winner. Greatest golfer in history. One of the greatest golfers. At one time, he looked like he was going to break Jack Nicklaus's record of 18 majors. But, you know, injuries, they happen. What is he, 41 years old now?
41.
Does he ever play again?
I think the man's conflicted right now. The competitor in him is telling him, keep playing, but his back is saying, hang it up.
I think once you get to 40 and 40 plus as an athlete, even with something like golf, that's not, you know, a lot of us maybe that don't play it don't think it's too strenuous, but when you're someone like Tiger Woods or one of those top guys, you're not, you know, there's rest when you're in between holes, but you're working on things 24/7. I think at this point Tiger needs to realize that he needs to think about hanging it up. Back in 2009, I didn't think he was going to win another major.
Yeah, he hasn't won since what, 2008?
2008,
the
US Open
in 2008. He hasn't won since then. That's a long time. Where were you in 2008, Mo?
2008,
where were you?
Man, I don't even know if I was in middle school. Was I elementary or middle school?
I'm trying to figure out where it was.
Fall of 2008 was my freshman year of high school.
All right, yeah. I must have been in either freshman year of high school or eighth grade. I'm not really sure what.
All right, I was in eighth grade then. You're a year older. I was in eighth grade, I think, then.
Gosh, that's a long time ago. I'm getting ready to graduate in a few weeks.
I'm a junior right now,
And Tiger Woods hasn't been relevant since 2008. I don't know what's going on in golf. You guys probably don't follow golf too much, right?
Not too much. Maybe like there. At the major events.
Yeah, the major events.
I'm a casual fan. I watch the majors. Okay. I keep up. I know who just won the Masters I know who won these last few majors. So I follow it, but it's not the same without Tiger Woods. You guys,
that's gonna be a crazy day. Once he hangs it up.
What's gonna go on in golf without Tiger Woods? Do you think they can get that casual fan back to watching regularly without Tiger Woods?
I think they can. That being said, I don't know if there's ever gonna be someone in the golf world who will ever revolutionize the sport.
I don't see
the way Tiger
right
Woods
now.
Did.
I don't see anybody right now. Maybe a couple years ago we thought it was gonna be Jordan Spieth after he won 3 majors in 1 year.
Mm.
Not now, right?
I don't.
Where's he been? He hasn't won since 2015.
Mm-hmm.
The thing with Tiger was we heard about him from early on. He was on like talk shows when he was a kid hitting golf balls 200 yards.
He was a prodigy.
We haven't really seen someone like that come up that young. I think to get people interested again. I think this is definitely gonna spread the competition out more. At least coverage, at least media coverage wise, because Tiger's not gonna be around probably for that much longer, whether he retires immediately or not. But I think we need someone else of his caliber to actually generate interest again.
Lastly, where does he stand? If he never plays another Masters, or if he never plays another Majors, even if he never plays another tournament, if he says, hey, I'm done, I want to spend some time with my kids, I want to spend some time with my family, and I don't want to worry about golf anymore and have another fifth back surgery. Where does he stand? In golf history.
Well, I'll put him on the Mount Rushmore. I'm not going to claim him the greatest of all time.
Greatest of our generation? I mean, we didn't really get to watch Jack Nicklaus or Arnold Palmer.
That's fair. Of the generation, definitely. I wouldn't say he's the greatest of all time if he retires right now. Of our generation, that's fair. I can go with that.
I'd agree with the generation thing. I think maybe if you go back and you kind of go through the history and everything, I don't know if I quite put him on the Mount Rushmore. I think definitely he's the best player of our generation, at least us as young people, but I don't know if I put him in the top five.
Oh, man.
Some NFL news.
NFL is back. Not yet. It may be, what is it, April? It's April, right?
It is April.
It may be April.
We have the draft coming up soon,
but
right? Next month,
the NFL is in.
Shout out to April Showers today.
This Thursday?
It is wet out.
The draft is this Thursday, bro.
Oh, I'm hyped.
And we're going to get to that in a minute.
I'm
but
hyped.
First,
wow.
NFL doesn't know how to stay quiet. They like to keep popping up in the offseason. They released their schedule, guys. And it's like Christmas in April.
The countdown begins.
I don't know about you guys, but I got pretty excited.
I'm hyped.
Now we're going to look over some of these schedules, some of these key games, key matchups that you guys should be planning to watch already in April. Now, the New England Patriots, they obviously won the Super Bowl.
Boo.
Save your booze.
Sorry.
I know.
Have to get one out.
I mean, yeah, we're all New York fans. We're not too fond of those Patriots up north.
But they
are going to host the Chiefs to open the season. The defending Super Bowl champions,
Chiefs.
New England Patriots, will open 2017 NFL season at home against the Kansas City Chiefs. That game is Thursday, September 7th.
Go Chiefs.
Mark your calendars now. Hey, take out a notebook. You know, get a pen.
Doing that as we speak.
I got my laptop out.
You need the date again? September 7th.
September 7th.
Thursday, September 7th.
Thursday.
Hey.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
We have time yet?
No time yet, but
no
I'm assuming, what, like 8:30?
8:30? Okay.
Prime time.
But, you know, we got your New York Giants. Both of you are Giants fans.
Squad.
They're going to be facing the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas to start the season. This will mark the fifth time in six seasons. The Giants will have opened against the Cowboys.
I don't even remember what year they haven't played them.
It's been... I mean, but you want to see...
That's like our slot. That's like Sunday night football the first week.
NFC East owns like Sunday night. But you want to see Giants-Cowboys opening week.
Absolutely.
That gets you excited, right?
Absolutely.
I'm excited for that receiver three-headed monster on the Giants, man. Brandon Marshall, Sterling
and
Shepard.
We'll get into this in a second. We're going to talk about...
Got a little excited. I'm sorry. I got a little jittery.
It's April. We got to hold on. It's April.
Someone mentions the Cowboys and I start twitching.
But a couple other key matchups in week one to look forward to. The Green Bay Packers, excuse me. Gosh.
All good.
The Giants are on my mind, and I'm not even a Giants fan. The Green Bay Packers will open the season by hosting the Seattle Seahawks at Lambeau Field. It's a pretty exciting matchup. And then the Minnesota Vikings will host the New Orleans Saints as part of Monday night doubleheader. The other game is Chargers-Broncos. A couple of great games Also, the Washington Redskins will host the Eagles, another NFC East matchup. Of these week one matchups, which one gets you most excited? And you can't pick the Giants. Only one of you can pick the Giants-Cowboys game, because you probably both would say that.
I'll be that guy then. I got to pick the Giants-Cowboys game.
I'll give it to you.
Thank you, thank you.
I'm interested to see, honestly, the other... I'm going to be doing a lot of scouting this year as far as the other part of the division goes, because we're still going to be the most competitive team in the division, I think, in that NFC East kind of realm. Vikings-Saints, that might be intriguing as well. Definitely Green Bay and Seattle. Wow.
Green Bay-Seattle, that's...
That's a good matchup.
That's going to be opening at Lambeau Field. I'm gonna make sure I watch that game.
You know, 2 years ago, they played in the playoffs.
See what LOB's going to do? Legion of Boom?
The Legion
of Boom. You guys remember
them?
Yeah, Legion of Boom.
I don't know. Are they still the Legion of Boom? They haven't been playing
like it. I don't know. They haven't been playing like it.
Hey.
Kim Chancellor's still that guy.
These are all topics we get to talk about for the next few months.
Richard Sherman better eat his chunkies.
Guys, we got what? May, June, July, August. We got all those months to wait. NFL teasing us a little bit here, releasing their schedule so early.
Yes.
You're getting all excited. Yeah. When I heard this, I got so excited. I'm like, NFL's back. Oh, wait, we got to wait, what, 5 months? We got to wait till September again? Regardless, preseason doesn't count. Preseason doesn't count, right?
Nah.
That doesn't get me excited. I'm not watching preseason. Week one is when I really get starting to talk about NFL, but Titans, Oakland Raiders, that's a pretty decent matchup first round. Giants, Cowboys, obviously. Even if you're not a fan of the NFC East, you're going to be tuning into that game. And I want to see what the Patriots and the Chiefs can do. I mean, as a Jets fan,
I think that's going to be a great game also.
I'm hoping and praying that this is the year Tom Brady finally sees some decline. I have zero faith in that he's going to decline. But
man's a workhorse.
I'm praying that he finally gets that Peyton
Manning
drop
off. He does
Manning
his little yoga and stuff. I don't know if he's going to drop off this year. Maybe we have to wait a couple more years. I'm not a Tom Brady fan either, but I respect his work ethic.
All right, so let's move on to the final topic of the Furious Five of the week. Guys, we're going to stick with the NFL. You mentioned it. The draft is this Thursday, Mo.
Mm-hmm.
Another tease for the NFL. Getting us excited in April. They released their schedules a couple days ago. Now the NFL draft is coming up this Thursday.
Yep.
Last year I shamelessly watched every single minute of the NFL draft on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
I cannot say the same.
Yeah, you know, me and my roommate Joe Mixie, we sat there on the couch, watched countless hours of Mel Kiper and Todd McShay.
Let me some Mel Kiper. Hair slick
hey,
back.
Todd. You know, I watched countless hours of those two break down those D3 players in the seventh round.
D3 players?
You know, whoever gets drafted in the seventh round, you know, they got that high school footage that they show from Germany, and it's shaky,
wherever.
And they're trying to break it down. Yeah. And Mel Kiper's like, Todd, did you see this guy back in 2004? He played Little League, and he hit that guy real hard. This guy's going to be a player. All right, so we're going to get in. This Thursday, I'll be watching. Hopefully, you guys will be watching
the
NFL draft. But
and pray for Cleveland.
Give me a player. Now, we're gonna get into our own Mel Kiper and our own Todd McShay. Once you start breaking down the draft a little bit, I know you know one of these guys that might go in the first round.
Oh, yeah, you know what my answer is.
But who's one? Give me one player that is a can't-miss guy in the first round. Who's got the highest ceiling, the highest floor? Who's a can't-miss guy in the first round?
You know who I'm going with. Mr. I can do everything on defense. My boy from my high school, Mr. Jabril Peppers.
Tell me why.
The man can play strong safety, free safety, boundary corner, slot corner. He can line up on the line. You could blitz him. He could play a little offense for you. Jabril is just a great all-around player, has a great attitude, and I think he'll be a great fit for any NFL team he goes to.
I'm not going to lie. I haven't caught back up with college football, but I'm interested to see where Leonard Fournette goes, just because
is he a can't miss guy? Is he a Zeke Elliott type player?
I don't think so. I think I need to see a little bit more from him in the college season. I can't remember exactly.
He had some injuries.
He had a couple inconsistencies. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't know if he had a fumbling problem at some point. Hopefully he gets that under control. but I don't see why a team like the Jaguars or
the Chargers don't take someone like that. Mock draft here that was done only a day ago, CBS, NFL.com. They have Leonard Fournette going four to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Uh-huh. Obviously, they've been struggling in the run game. They have Chris Ivory and I think TJ Yeldon back there.
TJ from Bama.
Yeah, it's okay. A mess. Both those guys aren't running too well, and you can't trust Blake Bortles in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
So if he goes number four, if they get a good running game,
they might be able to. Bortles might be able to step up a little bit. But they don't have any balance at all.
So we talked about some guys who are probably can't miss. My guy would probably be O.J. Howard. O.J. Howard,
tight end from Alabama.
Man, that guy's a freak.
He's a good athlete.
Oh, my gosh. O.J. Howard, if he goes sixth to the Jets, I'd be one of the happiest men. Because I think this guy, he's just so physical, so athletic. You watch some of these guys, this guy's workout. Just go Google O.J. Howard workout. Hmm. The guy's a monster.
The height. How tall is he?
He's got to be at least 6'6", 6'7".
He makes
Gronkowski look weak. Honestly, you go watch his workouts. He makes Gronkowski look weak and undefined, look flabby. Now, if I could see him go to the Jets at six, I'd be one of the happiest guys in the world because we haven't had a tight end since Dustin Keller in 2008. It's been a long time. But we talked about guys who can't miss. Give me a guy who you think might go in the first round, but he's going to disappoint a lot of people. He's going to be a bust.
I'll give you a guy who might go number one overall who I think might be a bust just because he has a little bit too much of a mouth. I'm going to go with Mr. Myles Garrett.
Hey, I don't disagree there.
From Texas A&M?
I don't disagree there. The guy, he's another guy who's a physical freak.
Mm-hmm.
You watch him run. You watch him work out. That guy's a freak of nature. And that's why he might go number one. But
my only thing against him, I agree with everything you said. He's a great physical player. You know, he knows the game very well, but I feel like it's just a little too much bark and no bite. He came out with a comment the other day saying any NFL team who doesn't pick him is going to suffer for the rest of his NFL tenure. I mean, I understand the competitiveness, but you haven't done anything in the league yet.
But then you go and see a few of his other comments. He refused to go on Mike and Mike because Booger McFarland, who was criticizing him earlier, he refused to go on Mike and Mike and do an interview with them because he didn't like the guy who was there who was criticizing him.
Yeah, which is ridiculous.
It's a little
soft
there. And then he also said, I don't know how long I'm going to play in the NFL because I have other interests. He's big into paleontology, I believe, and the stars. I don't know. He's got a lot of other interests, which is good for him. Great for him. You got other hobbies.
Yeah, good for you, man. But
if I'm taking you number one,
You better be all in.
You got to be all in, and I want to make sure you're not just playing 6 years, 5-6 years.
Yeah.
So it's a big risk with number one because you cannot miss. If you have the number one pick, you can't miss. Matt, who's your guy who's you think will be a bust in the first round?
I'm thinking either it's going to be a coin flip between just two guys who have been studs their entire college career so far for their teams, either Christian McCaffrey or Deshaun Watson. I think it's going to be one of them. I don't think I see, because we've heard so much about them.
You don't think both can be stars?
I don't think both. I think their style of play. Deshaun Watson kind of reminds me of kind of like a Vince Young, except he doesn't have the body type and he doesn't have the frame that he did.
See, to me, I think he kind of reminds me of a little Russell Wilson. He had a better college career than Russell Wilson, and he played there all 4 years. How about a guy like Mitch Trubisky? You guys like him at all?
From UNC?
Yeah, UNC. He only played one season as the starter. He played 13 games, and a lot of guys are projecting him either going one to Cleveland, two to San Francisco, hopefully not six to the Jets. I really don't want to take Mitch Trubisky, but you guys like him a little more than Deshaun Watson. Who's the first quarterback off the board?
I think just the more and more I've been hearing about him, Trubisky sounds like he's going to be a stud. We haven't heard about him a lot until recently, obviously because he was really only a one-year starter. But I think he might end up being the first quarterback off the board. I don't know where that's going to be. Cleveland has two picks in the first 12 picks. So 1 and 12. So they, you know, they could go after somebody at 1 or someone at 12. They still need a quarterback.
All right, real quick, who goes first? Draft starts this Thursday on ESPN. Make sure you're watching it. But who goes number one? You already alluded to a few guys. We talked about a few guys who could go one.
I think it's Myles Garrett.
Is it a consensus? Is it Myles Garrett?
Yeah.
I think it's Myles Garrett.